Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Thursday, April 21st, 2022. Tim's not feeling well, so I'm filling in, and today it's all about the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. Today I'll be sharing with you two scenes, but they only last for about 16 minutes, and the whole production is just under 2 hours. So I hope you can stay with me for the next 23 minutes. Here's an announcement I put together with Donna Leland. Here's our co-laboring friend and staff member, Donna Leland, sharing her thoughts on the Great News Radio Theater Troupe and the upcoming radio debut of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe this Saturday and Sunday. She also sees how God is using this theater troupe in creative and unique ways. Here's some of Donna's thoughts.
One thing I like about radio, it really is a theater of the mind. You hear the voice and you kind of recreate what you think in your head, and that's why radio theater is so much fun. We've got The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe, wonderful production that's being put on by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, and that's this Saturday and Sunday, 4 till 6 p.m. Do you like theater? Do you like to act in theater but just haven't had an opportunity? Well, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe is looking to audition more members. The program you're going to be hearing this Saturday, Sunday, 60 voices lended their talent to this group. So maybe you want to get back into enjoying this kind of a way to express yourself through theater. They're holding auditions. Go to greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and you can sign up. Send in your application, just some of the requirements. Enjoy theater, attend a local church, and just be passionate to see other people impacted by the gospel in such a creative way. Again, this is all at greatnewsradio.org.
Thanks, Donna. Now, as an FYI, this Saturday and Sunday, April 23rd and 24th, from 4 to 6 p.m. on all 19 of our frequencies, I invite you to tune in for a special radio production musical, a retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. Round up your friends and family, and be sure to tune in this Saturday and Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Well, thank you, Mark and Donna, for that radio announcement. Okay, now sit back for the next 8.5 minutes, as you'll now hear how our Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe production all starts.
Mom, Dad, kids, come on. It's story time. Gather round as the Great News Radio Theater Troupe presents a radio adaptation of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Let's join them now in London during World War II.
Once there were 4 children, whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. This story is about something that happened to them when they were sent away from London during the war because of the threat of air raids. As our story begins, the children are at the train station in London after a bombing raid.
Oi, put out that light. Don't you know there's a war on?
Hey! Just trying to show these kids our seats on the blessed train.
That don't affect the blackout. If Hitler sees that torch, he'll bomb us all to bits.
Now, don't you scare the children.
We're not scared of Hitler, sir.
Evacuees, eh?
England's at war with Germany, so we're going to the country because London's having bombs dropped on it.
And your names are?
Peter.
Susan.
Edmund.
And Lucy. And our second name is Pevensey.
In your up now, Pevenseys. Your train's ready.
No lights, mines.
Good luck, kids.
The children arrive at the house of an old professor who lives in the heart of the country. 10 miles from the nearest railway station and 2 miles from the nearest post office. He has no wife and lives in a very large house with a housekeeper called Mrs. McCready and 3 servants whose names are Ivy, Margaret, and Betty.
The professor's house is huge.
And look, 3 servants at the front door.
So, you'll be the evacuees.
We're the Pevensies.
Oh, how nice. Ration books, if you please. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I suppose we'll find room for you.
Of course we will. We'll find a couple of rooms for them. Let me see. You will be Peter, and Susan, and Edgar.
No, Edmund.
I beg your pardon, Edmund. And Lucy, child of light.
Just Lucy, sir.
Oh, well, I'm Professor Kirk. This is my house, and behold, this is my housekeeper, Mrs. McCready. I find it wise to obey her in most things, and these are the maids, Ivy, Margaret, and Betty. I hope your stay here will be happy and exciting.
Thank you, sir.
I'm off to hide in my study and work, so I will say good night.
Good night, sir.
Mrs. McCready will show you to your rooms after you've had a bite to eat.
This way, children.
What a marvelous room.
Look at all the books.
And brass beds.
The young ladies will sleep in here.
And the young gentlemen?
Through the blue door, and mind your heads. You'll find the necessaries under the beds. Good night. Sleep tight. Mind the beetsies. Don't bite.
Good night.
We've fallen on our feet and no mistake. The professor will let us do what we like.
He's an old dear.
Oh, come off it. Don't talk like that.
Like what?
Like mother.
Edmund, it's time you were in bed.
There you are. Go to bed yourself, Susan.
This whole house is like the maze at Hampton Court.
That was hedges. This is rooms.
What's that noise?
Only a bird, silly.
It makes me feel creepy.
It's an owl. This is going to be a wonderful place for birds. I'm off to bed. We can explore tomorrow. You saw those mountains and woods. There might be eagles.
Stags, perhaps.
There'll be hawks.
Badgers.
Foxes.
Rabbits.
It'll be dragons and serpents if we don't go to bed. Come on, Edmund. Good night, girls.
Good night.
Happy dreams.
The next morning, a steady rain is falling as the professor meets with his staff near the front door.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Professor.
Beautiful rain today. About your duties, ladies, I must ensure that our young guests enjoy their stay.
If they are good, they will be happy, sir.
Of course, McCready.
It would be raining. We're 10 miles from the railway station and 3 miles from the nearest sweet shop.
Do stop grumbling, Ed.
If it stops raining, can we dig a huge hole for an air raid shelter?
Oh, an excellent scheme. You may excavate down there in the garden at the foot of the steps. You'll find plenty of spades and forks in the green shed nearby when the rain stops.
In the meantime, there's a wireless and thousands of books.
Not for me. I want to explore the house.
Well, let me speed you on your way. When Mrs. McCready shows round parties of sightseers, which she does once a week by arrangement, she always starts with this painting, and so shall we.
Who's that funny-looking girl and boy on a horse with wings?
Me and my friend Polly. Years ago...
You're flying over a beautiful country. Where is that?
Oh, my, look at the clock. 10:16. I must return to work.
What are you working on, sir?
Wonders. Yes, I'm working on wonders, Peter. I'll leave you to explore the house. See you all at feeding time.
He's vanished.
Come on.
Hey, a suit of armor. Looks like it was made for a gorilla.
The room down there is all hung with green.
And there's a hop in the corner.
Playing all by itself.
That's just the wind blowing through a broken window.
Let's go up these stairs.
Room after room after room.
And all of them lined with books.
Mostly very old books.
Some of them are bigger than the Bibles at church.
Look, they've got the secret garden.
Treasure Island.
Round the world in 80 days.
The railway children.
Up some more steps.
just one funny little room.
It's empty.
Except for the wardrobe. Nothing else.
There's a dead blue butterfly on the windowsill. Come on.
I think I'll stay and see what's in the wardrobe, though it's probably locked. Ah! Oh, only mothballs. What's this? Hundreds of coats. Long, furry coats. They're so soft. Leave the door open. It's very foolish to shut yourself in a strange wardrobe. More coats. Very dark. It goes on and on. Must be a simply enormous wardrobe. Oh, something crunching at my feet. Mothballs? No, it's all soft and powdery and cold. Very odd. And the fur rubbing at my face. It's gone all rough and prickly. Christmas tree branches? Oh, I'm in a snowy forest. And there's a light ahead of me. Glowing.
A snowy forest? A lantern? Could it be Narnia? Here's another scene that I hope you'll look forward to hearing in its entirety this Saturday or Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., as today during the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, I'm just giving you some teasers to get you to tune in this weekend. You're going to be really blessed, but here's another classic scene, as retold by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, as we've adapted The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe for radio.
Edmund steps into the wardrobe and soon finds himself in the snowy forest in Narnia.
Lucy, Lucy! I'm here too! She's angry with me. Listen, Lou, I'm sorry I didn't believe you. You were right all along. Make it Pax. Just like a girl, sulking somewhere, won't accept an apology. Right, and I'm so cold.
Edmund looks around, then stops. As he hears the sound of bells, he stares in disbelief. There sweeps into sight a sledge drawn by one large horse with a harness of scarlet leather covered with bells. The driver is a bearded dwarf in polar bear fur and a red hood with a long golden tassel hanging down from its point. Behind him, on a much higher seat, sits a very tall lady, dressed in white fur right up to her throat. She holds a long, straight golden wand in her right hand and wears a golden crown. Her face is as white as snow, except for her ruby-red lips.
Stop!
Whoa!
And what, pray, are you?
My name's Edmund.
Is that how you address a queen?
I beg your pardon, your majesty. I didn't know.
He didn't know.
Not know the Queen of Narnia? You shall know us better hereafter. I repeat my question. What are you?
Please, your majesty, I'm still at school, but it's the holidays
but
now.
But what are you? A great overgrown dwarf that has cut off its beard?
Are you?
No, your majesty, I've never had a beard. I'm a boy.
A boy?
A boy?
You? Are a son of Adam? I see you are an idiot, whatever else you may be. Answer me now. Are you human?
Yes, your majesty.
And how, pray, did you come to enter my dominions?
Please, your majesty, I came through a wardrobe.
A wardrobe?
A wardrobe.
What do you mean?
I opened a door and just found myself here, your majesty.
A door? A door from the world of men? I have heard of such things. This may wreck all. But he is only one, and easily dealt with.
The queen rises from her seat and raises her wand towards Edmund, but suddenly stops.
Ah, my poor child. How cold you look. Come and sit with me here on the floor. I will put my mantle round you and we will talk.
Yes, your majesty.
Here you are. Watch your step now.
Something hot to drink?
Yes, please, your majesty.
The queen pulls a vial from under her fur, pulls out the stopper, and slowly lets one drop fall and hit the snow. It hisses, then turns into a golden chalice filled with a bubbly blue liquid. Grumpskin bends to pick it up and gives it to Edmund.
Here's your drink.
I've never had this before. Very sweet and foamy and creamy. It warms you right down to your toes.
It is dull, son of Adam, to drink without eating. What would you like best to eat?
Turkish delight is my favorite, Your Majesty.
The witch lets one more drop fall to the snow before capping and putting away the vial. This time, it produces a box of Turkish delights, each wrapped in paper. Grumston retrieves this for Edmund as well.
Turkish delight! Thanks! So sweet and light! Right to the very center! I've never tasted anything so Turkish!
And do you live all alone in your world, son of Adam?
Oh no, I've got one brother and two sisters. One of my sisters went to Narnia. She said she met a faun.
And do all the people in your world know about Narnia?
No, only me, my brother, and sisters know anything at all about it.
Are you sure there are just four? Two sons of Adam, two daughters of Eve. Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Yes, I told you that before. Turkish delight, Turkish delight. Chunky and chewy and sweet and bright.
Two sons of Adam, two daughters of Eve.
Neither more nor less.
Yes!
Turkish delight, Turkish delight. Chunky and chewy and sweet and bright.
But remember the old prophecy? When Adam's flesh and Adam's bone sits at Kaer Perivel enthroned, the evil time will be over and gone.
No, I hate that old prophecy. I have replaced it with a new one of my own. Two kings who shall never be king. Two queens who shall never be queen. Four thrones which are under a spell will stay empty always at Kaer Perivel. We have caught one of them, Grumpskin. He is falling, falling under my spell. Soon we shall capture all four. Now, son of Adam, I should so much like to meet your brother and your two sisters. Will you bring them to me?
I'll try.
Because if you did come back and bring them to my house, I'd be able to give you lots more Turkish delight.
Why can't we go to your house now?
Oh, it's such a lovely place, my house. There are whole rooms full of Turkish delight.
Whole rooms full?
And I have no children of my own. I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince. He would be king of Narnia when I am gone. As prince, he would wear a golden crown and eat Turkish delight all day long. Edmund, you are much the cleverest and handsomest young man I've ever met. I would like to make you the prince some day, when you bring the others to visit me.
Why not now?
Oh, first I must meet your brother and your sisters. You will be king one day, and a king must have noble courtiers. I will make your brother a duke, and your sisters duchesses.
There's nothing special about them.
Go back now to your own country and come to me another day. With them, you understand. It is no good coming without them.
No good.
But I don't know the way home.
Step down and I will show you. See, there stands the lamp. Straight on beyond that is the way to the world of men. And now look the other way. Can you see two hills rising above the trees?
I think so.
My house is between those two. Next time you come, look for those two hills and walk through the woods till you reach my house. But remember, bring the others with you. I would be very angry if you came alone.
Very angry.
I'll do my best.
And, by the way, you needn't mention me to them. That fawn may have told your sister nasty stories about me.
Nasty stories?
Fawns will say anything, you know. Just lead them towards the two hills. And when you come to my house, you can say, let's see who lives here, or something like that.
Please, 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 couldn't I have just one more piece of Turkish delight to eat on the way home?
No. You must wait till next time. Onwards! Next time, don't forget!
Next time, don't forget, your time listening friend is to tune in this Saturday or Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., as you'll get to hear this two-hour special. I'm going to close out with Les and his special guest, Giant Rumblebuffin.
Hello, radio listeners. Today I have a special treat. I have one of the characters from the great news radio theater troupe's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, friends. My name is Giant Rumblebuffin, and I'm from Narnia. It is so good to be with you today, and I am so excited.
Well, Rumblebuffin, what is it that you are so excited about?
I'm excited about the fact that everyone can listen to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe this Saturday and Sunday. On this radio station from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And they can come to the station before that and get popcorn if they want to.
Well, that certainly is exciting. Tell us, is there any part that you're especially proud of?
Well, there's where I broke through the gate to let everyone out of the witch's castle. Ooh, but Mr. Tumnus said I wasn't very clever, even though I got the gate open.
Okay, so you mean this part?
No, the gate!
What a useful, kind giant!
Oh yes, the Buffins always were. One of the most respected giant families in Narnia. Not very clever, perhaps, but very kindly people. If he'd been the cruel kind, she'd never have turned him into stone.
Ooh, play the part where the stone table cracks and Aslan rises from the dead.
Well, I'd love to, but they're just going to have to come back on Saturday or Sunday from 4 to 6 and listen for themselves, because we're out of time. See you then. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
All right, you have the date and the times this Saturday and Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. I hope you can join us for the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's retelling of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.